Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth.
I truly believe that thoughts are the greatest vehicle to change.
We do not care whether the cat is black or white, as long as it can catch mice.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be.
To those waiting with bated breath for that favorite media catchphrase, the U-turn, I have only one thing to say. U-turn if you want to. The ladies, not for turning.
You cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today, is a quote from Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States of America, the country's leader during the Civil War. I thought this was an appropriate quote for our discussion today on the 2020 US presidential election, a country divided after what just transpired, yearning to move forward. Our guest today is US politics and history expert Stephen Loosely AM, who served as Senator for New South Wales in the Australian Parliament during the Hawke and Keating governments, where he chaired both the Joint Committee on Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade, and the Senate Regulations Committee. Hello and welcome to a special episode of No Limitations, a show where we speak to elite world-class performing men and women and unlock the secrets and influences that have shaped their destinies and that you could apply to your own life. I am your host, Greg Robinson, Managing Partner of Blenheim Partners, the number one research-led executive search and board advisory firm. As noted in our first discussion, we now continue the conversation with Stephen after the election to review the key moments, how events unfolded, what the future of America will look like, and the ramifications for the world. In the spirit of democratic political discourse, to provide balance in a conversation with the support of the Democratic Party, I will be providing commentary in opposition, presenting a Republican or pro-Trump stance. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by Stephen Loosely in this podcast are his own and do not necessarily reflect those of the organizations he is involved with. So sit back and enjoy the second part of The Battle for the Soul of America. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Greg. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
US elections, certainly been interesting.
Well, no question about that. I mean, it's in the American tradition of hotly contested elections during the campaign, at the ballot, and subsequent to the ballot.
So what's your current thoughts on the play of the election?
Joseph Robin Ed Biden Jr. is going to be the 46th President of the United States. Kamala Harris will be his Vice President, and they will be sworn in on the 20th of January. I think it's a clear win, and no matter how much static is in the background generated out of the Trump White House, that will be the result.
Where was it won?
It was won in a number of places and not necessarily during the campaign. I think a lot of Americans had made up their minds well before election day. COVID-19 undoubtedly hurt the president's campaign, not by as much as some people suspect, but it undoubtedly hurt his campaign because the American response was nothing short of chaotic, with different rules and different approaches in the different states and cities and the like. So that hurt. Absent COVID-19, I think it would have been an entirely different campaign, and Donald Trump may well have won a second term. Mm-hmm. But I think people were making up their minds during the onset of the pandemic, looking at the shambolic response, looking at the arguments inside the administration where the president was critical of people around him, including Dr. Fauci and so on and so forth, and seeing the pandemic really get out of control. Mm-hmm. So I think that hit hard. A number of Americans have been very committed and very deliberate in their voting in this election. A number of Americans, in terms of registering their disapproval of Donald Trump, were just tired of the endless chaos out of the White House and turned off by the tweeting, which Trump had used to good effect to rally his base, but had little positive impact amongst independents.
77 million people voted for Joe Biden thus far before the counts, and what, 72 million for Donald Trump? Numbers haven't finished been counting yet, Stephen.
But there's so much has been counted, it's safe to say that the result is clear.
70% of the Americans don't believe the election was free and fair.
Where does that figure originate? That doesn't gel with anything I've seen.
Comes from Politico. I thought I'd raise that for you. I know you're going to have an angle, and I've just put some headlines there.
70% of Americans don't believe the election was free and fair?
Yep, supposedly to that poll. But there's the other question. Who trusts the polls?
Well, let's roll it back for a moment and focus on realities. The circumstances of the polls that I've seen show that about 80% of Americans do accept the result.
Which poll was that?
The circumstances of the recounts in American political history.
Yep.
And look, in the Trump universe, this won't mean anything because it's fact, but circumstances have been that alterations in voting outcomes as a consequence of recounts are generally of the order of 0.0002%.
Yep.
Tiny.
Yeah, they are.
You have some situations where a couple of hundred votes change. Sometimes the winner goes further ahead, by the way. You might have a couple of thousand that have been mislaid. I have seen this in Australian elections, but it's very rare that a recount changes the result. And we'll see that in Georgia when the hand counting is finished.
It's 14,000 gap difference, isn't there?
When the hand counting is finished, we will see the result is confirmed.
Well, I saw a number this morning. 79% of all counties in the United States, 79% voted for Trump, voted for the Republicans.
Yes, and it's probably possible to walk from the Atlantic coast to the Pacific seaboard right through Republican counties.
So it's the cities which don't vote, isn't it?
Won the election.
So it's the cities which vote for the Democrats.
In the main. But in the state of Pennsylvania, Biden had some very good advice early on from local campaigners.
Mm-hmm.
What Hillary Clinton had missed in 2016 was she'd concentrated early on Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. They're Democratic strongholds in the main. And the results were there, but not of the same dimension as for Barack Obama. What the locals in Pennsylvania told the former vice president, as he then was, campaign out in the counties, out in rural and regional areas. You want to win Scranton, and he did, by the way.
Yeah,
he did win Scranton. You want to win Scranton and other small towns and the like. Run in the counties well outside the major cities. Does two things. One, it depresses your opponent's vote, and two, it increases yours. And in a state like Pennsylvania, that told.
Yeah, but on the election day or election evening, if I remember rightly, in Pennsylvania, Stephen, Trump was up 600,000 votes, and the next day it started to change.
It was a red mirage.
It was a red mirage.
The way things are going with the Trumpeteering flock, they'll be at Jonestown, Guyana, drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, my God.
What's his path to victory? He's got a path to victory.
Sorry, who has a path to victory?
Trump.
There is none.
100% no Trump at all. There is no chance at all.
It's over.
There's 1 in 5 chance, isn't there?
It's over.
What happens in Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania will not change from whatever the Secretary of State sends off to the Electoral College. It is over.
It's been contested at the moment, is it not?
Well, if you call Rudy Giuliani's appearance as part of a contest, I suppose you'd have that. But how many of the lawsuits that Trump has filed have been rejected in the courts? Well, I last saw 11, but it's probably more than that.
Majority of them thus far, but the big one is Pennsylvania, is it not?
Well, it could be. In terms of the claim, I cannot see it being upheld.
Do you want to talk about that claim? Isn't the claim about...
Because of this fact, this reality. The US courts, right up to the Supreme Court, are not going to intervene in an election where there's a 5 million person gap. They will not do it. The most capable politician in the United States at the moment is probably the Chief Justice, John Roberts. He's demonstrated that time and time again. Given that, the American courts are not going to intervene on this.
When does the vote count, Stephen? 3 days after it gets served in?
No, it counts when it's collected In accordance with the law, when it's registered.
And that's what, isn't the Pennsylvania law in Pennsylvania say that it's only based on by the time the polls close on the day of the election, they're counted. Is there not already a larger number of votes been set aside?
Votes have been set aside, but you've got to be realistic here too in terms of the impact of COVID. I mean, I know Sean Hannity says, well, just toss Pennsylvania aside.
Yep.
What court is going to do that? Tell me that.
It may well go to the Supreme Court.
No.
You don't think it'll go to the Supreme Court?
Circumstances are the Trumpeteers are clutching at straws here and relying upon a triumph of hope over experience. It's not going to happen.
Okay, let me ask you this. So you are comfortable with the way that the votes have been counted?
Entirely comfortable, indeed.
I'm not talking from a Trump point of view. I'm talking from actually just running an election. It just seems to be absolutely B grade how things have been done. They still haven't finished counting in a number of states, Stephen.
That's another argument. That's an argument for the Americans reforming their electoral system.
So therefore, doesn't it not concern you in regards to the argument for democracy? If you're going to go for a vote, you want to make sure that your votes are counted there is consistency.
I would be pleased if the Americans had our electoral commission running their polls and they had mandatory voting. But neither's going to happen in the short term, so you work with what you have. As Theodore Roosevelt was fond of saying, and you probably heard me say it, you work with what you have, when you have it, where you have it.
I think you've got a battle in the state. Pennsylvania, I think that might be interesting. I don't think he's necessarily going to win, but he's going to fight that one very hard. That's his only route, correct? If he wins Pennsylvania, then he may have some hope. If he doesn't win Pennsylvania,
I don't think that route exists. I don't think it's there. I don't think it's there.
Okay. All right. What about the computers?
Is this the allegation that it was a Serb server that changed the result of the election?
Not sure it's Serb.
That was the latest.
It came out of Venezuela, wasn't it?
Venezuela. Sorry, I'm not across that one.
You haven't heard that one?
No, I don't believe it.
Well,
I'm pleased to be able to dismiss it.
Okay, I'll bring that up in a second for you.
The Maduro government actually changed the result of the election. Is that the allegation?
Yeah, you have read it. You know where I'm coming from.
No, you can just construct conspiracy theories quite easily when it comes to the American hard right and alt-right. And they're Australian acolytes.
All right, so let's talk about what actually happened. So what other points do you think were contributory to the swing to Biden? Because at the end of the day, it's not an enormous difference really, is there? So it's almost 50-50.
No, but flipping states like Georgia is an enormous difference. Flipping Arizona is an enormous difference. Taking Texas to the wire is an enormous difference. So you have a circumstance in which, unlike 2016, where Donald Trump could portray Hillary Clinton as being something that was manifestly evil, apparently. I obviously don't share that view, quite the contrary, but crooked Hillary and all this sort of abuse didn't work with Joe Biden, which is why the Republicans had to switch to Hunter Biden, who was not on the ballot paper. Circumstances of Americans' estimation of the former vice president, now the president-elect, is that he was likable. Over 60% of Americans, when the polls were convened, said they liked him. They found him likable. And that worked to his advantage. It also worked to his advantage that the Biden campaign decided they'd be very disciplined on COVID, which meant rallies in cars and so on and so forth, where you honked your horn instead of being up there in those mass spreading events that the Trump campaign had. People watch those things. They observe closely. So Joe Biden in the basement, then coming out for limited appearances and so on, worked. There's no doubt about that. Kamala Harris, very disciplined. Both the principal Democrats, very measured. Barack Obama, no question, an advantage, a real asset. I loved Obama
in Detroit. You really think that, do you?
I wouldn't have said it unless I did.
Well, the reason Trump got in was because of his failures, but anyway.
I'm not Donald Trump here. I'm not making it up as I go along. Circumstances being what they were in Detroit when he walked out and a woman in the crowd called out, "We missed you." And he said, "Well, I missed you. That's why I'm back." And I thought, that is really a classy politician. doesn't expect that, but bang, he's got a reply and suddenly people are honking and they're away. So you've got real campaign focus, real discipline, really measured. Now, I saw Joe Biden out in Iowa during the primary.
Yes.
A little town called Waukee in a school gymnasium. I thought he was a bit rusty at the time. I wrote that at the time. But he improved and he kept improving in the sense that he has a stutter, which he's had since childhood, and to deal with that, he stops, waits, and then proceeds again. And it's a successful formula. And to that end, he kept the focus on the Trump administration, particularly on COVID, because when you have a ballot for a president seeking a second term, it's always a referendum, on the administration.
Sure.
So you had COVID, you had the economy and so on and so forth. You had issues such as climate change policy, broader relations with the allies, things of that nature. And of course, all the racial tension that had spilled over in the US the last several months after the tragedy of George Floyd's killing and obviously other episodes such as Louisville and the like. So the Biden campaign was focused. From the time that he won South Carolina and then Super Tuesday, he never lost sight of the prize. As Dr. King would say, the eyes were on the prize.
How much money was actually spent to support the Biden campaign, you think?
Total of about $15 billion on the election.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
How much of that came
$15 billion.
From the Democratic Party remains to be seen. The Democrats comfortably outspent Republicans. It's unusual. This is why Lindsey Graham, a senator re-elected in South Carolina, went on Fox News to ask for money, that he was being outspent by his opponent. That's unheard of.
That's right. And I think that area was the highest spend, wasn't it?
$57 million raised in one quarter for the Democratic candidate. That being the case, yes, there was quite a lot of big tech money, quite a lot of Wall Street money, but a lot of ordinary people put their hands in their pockets.
What?
By the way, I'm fascinated by the new Trump Political Action Committee.
Go on.
The one that is supposedly raising money for the legal case. Mm-hmm. But if you read the fine print, it would seem it's focused more on the Donald's future than on the past.
Well, he may be becoming a TV star, set his own TV station up.
Well, that's why he's attacking Fox News.
Well, I don't think he's going to go Fox. I think he's going to break away and go to a whole new
But that's
TV
why
station.
He's attacking Fox News, to carve out the ground. And he was stunned when Arnon Mishkin, who's the best caller of election statistics in the United States, who runs the Fox News decision desk, called Arizona very early, and he got it right for Biden. And the problem for the Republicans was AP had linked its coverage to Fox.
They did.
So as soon as that happened, bang, that went around the world.
Yep.
Bang. And the Trump narrative was shattered very early on.
Why are we calling him president-elect?
Because he is.
According to who? He has not been certified.
According to all the counts to date, Joe Biden has 306 Electoral College votes. Donald Trump has 232. Now, the curious thing about that is that's the exact reversal of 2016.
It is.
And how did Trump decide to describe that?
I don't know.
As a landslide. Trump decided that was a landslide. And he called it very early, like within a day or so. Reverse it now, and of course it's got to be challenged everywhere.
All right.
The numbers will hold up, believe me. For the people
listening, what do you think it's really going to come in?
You may be certain that Joe Biden is the 46th president of the United States.
Okay. How influential?
I like to deal in certainties.
So do I. No, so do I. That's why I want the proper votes counted. That's what worries me so much.
Well, that's what's happened.
No, it hasn't. Are they not doing recounts?
Here and there are recounts, which won't alter things. Well, where in the history of American presidential counts has a recount ever altered anything? The argument in Florida was about which votes you count and which votes you recount.
That's what the punching polls.
Florida Supreme, the Chads. Yep. Florida Supreme Court said a full recount. The U.S. Supreme Court said no. That was the difference. But what did Al Gore do? He conceded. Joe Lieberman, his running mate, Senator Joe Lieberman from Connecticut, wanted to box on. And the former vice president, to his great credit, said no. I'm not going to put the country through this. And he conceded, which is what should happen now. So there can be a transition, which is in the interest not only of the United States, but of all its allies.
Yeah, and I concur with you, Stephen. I think that Trump shall allow Biden to attend intel briefings, etc.
A lot more than that. Public health is the pressing domestic issue. The international issues are where adversaries can seek advantage. And I think at the moment there is need for the Vice President, now President-elect Biden, to be thoroughly briefed and letting people know in the administration what his policies happen to be. And that includes current Trump cabinet ministers.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that. How did the polls get it so horribly wrong? They've done it now twice, and they got it wrong even in Australia last time.
They're a little bit better this time, but not by much.
No.
The circumstances were they simply did not register the increasing vote for Donald Trump, which often is amongst working class people. They tend to be underrepresented in the polls. And I think there was a fair amount of fatigue on the part of Americans taking calls from polls, those that were, and they would simply want the pollster to go away. So I suspect that there was the factor of underrepresentation, the factor of exhaustion, and there's always just a little bit of herd mentality amongst the pollsters. We saw it in 2016. We saw it again. In 2016, the LA Times got it right, but everyone argued that it was an outlier. It wasn't. They were accurate. This time, I can't think of anyone who polled as accurately as you would want in an election of this significance.
Yeah, because ultimately, didn't President Trump win the most votes for any president in US history?
Well, he's polled the most votes for a candidate for the presidency, except for one other person who beat him.
But I'm just saying that's how wrong the pollsters were, weren't they?
Yes, they were wrong. They're a little bit more accurate than 2016. That's all you can say.
And do you have a view of the suppressing of votes as a result of the pollsters getting so wrong? Does that come into play at all?
Suppression of votes is the way elections are actually stolen in the United States. Now, there's a governor of Georgia named Kemp, who was the Secretary of State, who was opposed by a very, very capable African-American woman by the name of Stacey Abrams. Now, what the Republicans in Georgia did was to purge the rolls and artificially deflate the Democratic vote 2018. So Kemp, who was the Secretary of State presiding over the poll while he was the primary candidate in same poll, Kemp wins by about 50,000 over Abrams. The Democrats then turned around and enrolled. Figure that I've seen is 800,000 more Georgians. And that told, in terms of the state of Georgia, the overall a result that has been tallied and will be confirmed. Circumstances being what they are, you see purging of the rolls and other devices as the way to steal elections in a voluntary voting system.
What about the harvesting of votes? Did you hear much about that?
No, I didn't. Not really.
You didn't hear much about that at all?
Not really, no.
Okay. All right.
You're about to enlighten me, I'm assuming.
I'm just surprised you didn't. You know, I'm just
look. I mean, for the listeners, people queued for 8, 10, 12 hours to vote.
Yeah, and that's outrageous. Isn't
they it is absurd,
and it's not compulsory,
and it is wrong. But people did that because they wanted to register their vote. Now, in my experience, people don't queue for 10 to 12 hours to vote for someone. They do it to vote against someone. And that was registered in a lot of places, Philadelphia being the classic example. Detroit is another.
And then what happened in the House and what happened in the Senate?
They're interesting questions.
I
think they're fascinating. I said in my opening remarks, and I don't fear contradiction here, Americans were very committed. We saw that. They were very deliberate. Happy to vote for Joe Biden at the top of the ballot paper, not so happy about voting for some other candidates a bit further down. Now, where the candidate was particularly strong, I'm thinking Susan Collins, the Republican senator for Maine. She was supposedly under threat. She won comfortably. I'm thinking of Mark Kelly, the astronaut and husband of Gabby Giffords out in Arizona. I'm thinking of John Hickenlooper, the former governor of Colorado. They won. Strong campaigns or strong candidates, and people acknowledged that. a lot of others fell by the wayside, despite massive amounts of money in some cases. So they're very deliberate votes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's likely the Republicans will have a majority, narrow majority, but a majority in the Senate.
52-48, you reckon?
Something like that. It's depending upon the runoffs
in Georgia
on the 5th of January in Georgia.
Yeah.
It's possible for the Democrats to win both. I think it's more likely the Republicans win both. In the House, where some of the Democratic left had been out campaigning on defund the police and socialist agendas and things of this nature, Medicare for all, that told against the Democrats. So they probably dropped somewhere between 8 and 11 seats. Nancy Pelosi will have a narrow majority. Now, what does it mean? I actually think it works for the new president, strengthens his hand, because his party's not in a situation to dictate to him. Will not happen. If Mitch McConnell wants to be bracketed with Lyndon Johnson as majority leader, as he's indicated he does, then he will have to have the kind of relationship with President Biden that LBJ had with President Eisenhower. That's the only way to do it. If the Republicans wish to be obstructive, they can. If the Democrats wish to be adventurous, they can. But I suspect the Biden administration will tack to the centre and look to pick up some solid support from the Democratic Party and from a more reasonable Republican Party. Now, here's the catch. Donald Trump is not going to go away. Okay, we shouldn't think he's been defeated. Bye-bye, Donnie. Circumstances will be that he will be out there, I suspect, replacing Rush Limbaugh as being the media spokesman for the Republican right.
Okay.
Mainly for alt-right, but the Republican right.
Yep.
He will be a media player, be how he earns his money, and he'll need money. And he will need money. Perhaps as a competitor with Fox, that will be an interesting fight.
I think so.
Very interesting
fight.
Perhaps, possibly over time, as a contributor to Fox, but I think the former's more likely than the latter. Now, Trump and his family wish to hold control of the Republican Party, which has become a cult grouped around Donald Trump Sr. That being the case, they're looking at 2 years down the track at midterms.
Yes, exactly.
They're looking at whether or not Donald Trump Sr. can return to the White House in 4 years' time, like President Cleveland did at the end of the 19th century. Only one president's ever done that. It's possible. But to do that, of course, brings an almighty battle within the Republican Party itself, because you have Mike Pompeo has ambitions.
Yep.
Nikki Haley, the former UN ambassador, is very capable. Of Senator Marco Rubio from Florida.
Ted Cruz.
Another one has – Ted Cruz has aspirations too.
Hmm.
And there are others. So I suspect – and it'll be interesting to see how this maps out over the next year or two. Donald Trump in exile from the White House is more of a problem for the Republicans, particularly for Mitch McConnell, than for the new president.
Did I really vote for Biden? At the end of the day, how many times did he appear? He was massively supported by the media, as you said, an enormous amount, in billions and billions. Or was I just actually voting out Trump? As you said, what did you say last time? You're a yellow dog Democrat.
Yes.
Okay, which means you must have liked Mr. Kennedy and other people who gave inspiration. Does Mr. Biden and Kamala Harris give you the inspiration to reflect 77 million people?
I tell you what inspires me about Joe Biden, that he was nearly knocked out of the contest in Iowa and should have been knocked out of the contest in New Hampshire. He goes on to South Carolina, where Representative Jim Clyburn endorses him, and much of the African-American vote, particularly of the middle-aged and seniors, backed him in. Young people, not so impressed. But he wins South Carolina, and off that springboard, he sweeps Super Tuesday.
Mm.
He wins states where his campaign hasn't spent a dollar. Now, that happened for a reason, because the Democratic Party at rank-and-file base level wanted a candidate who could beat Donald Trump, and they didn't see any of the other contenders. And there were some good ones. I like Mayor Pete Buttigieg, for example. Mayor Pete. But they didn't think a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren or others could do it. So they came back to the former vice president, whom they knew. So he then surfs that through a successful virtual convention. He has a platform, which the Republicans didn't have. And I find that astonishing. The Republican Party went to a general election without a platform.
Do you think Biden actually sold his platform?
I think he did because he held... Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I'm listening.
Just don't do a Trump in a debate on me. You know, this is not the first debate again.
So I was about to ask you that in a second.
Circumstances being what they were, even the most fervid Trumpeteer has to acknowledge that Biden held the Democratic coalition together. Hillary Clinton could not. Hillary, unfortunately, Mrs. Clinton, whom I admire, lost votes to Trump, Bernie Sanders' camp and so on and so forth in the Midwest, the upper Midwest. That cost her the election, amongst other things.
Mm-hmm.
A constituency that's grouped under the Democratic Party banner held together. Biden did not have to concede Medicare for All. He did not have to concede on everything on the Green New Deal for AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Not yet.
And so on.
Yep.
But last time people were saying he would concede it going to the election, yeah, but he didn't.
People also said Trump would go send us all to war. He's the first U.S. president never taken the country to war.
He's doing so well with troop withdrawals now.
Did he take us to war?
He is doing so well. Let's not talk about hypotheticals here.
I've interrupted you. Come on.
I said, no. I prefer to deal in realities.
Okay.
Gravity.
Have we gone into a conflict under President Trump?
No.
Has every other president for the number of years gone into conflict?
Since Jimmy Carter, yes.
Gee whiz. Everyone got that wrong.
So are we arguing he ran a successful foreign policy now?
I thought he's done pretty good in the Middle East. You don't think he's doing well there?
In the Middle East, I give him marks.
Very good marks.
I don't give him marks for relations with the European allies, for example. I don't give him marks for relations with the Canadians or the Koreans and others. I don't give him marks for essentially running a chaotic White House. But at any rate, you distracted me here. Biden held the coalition together. Yeah, it's important to have a focus.
Yeah,
important to have a focus. I mean,
yep.
You can't just sit in your bedroom and watch Fox TV all day the way some other people do.
No, I balance it with CNN.
So does the former president, or the outgoing president, apparently, even watches MSNBC.
Well, he might even buy
so
out.
So a coalition the Democratic Party has held together. He makes a very good choice in Kamala Harris, who undoubtedly brought something to the ticket and undoubtedly helped in all kinds of ways, particularly in terms of turnout. So the Democrats win. So I give him marks for running a very focused, very disciplined, very measured campaign.
Okay.
A superior campaign to the business of these super spreader events.
When you've got 90% of the media against you, you're up for it. Don't you agree?
Well, some people say it was 100%, including Fox News was against him.
I'd wonder why.
I don't, but...
Let's think about it. Hillary, who you admire, lost, okay? Day one, the Democrats have sought out to bring him down. And that's fair enough. That's politics.
It's also American history.
All right. So they've gone out of their way. And then, everything from Flynn through to the impeachment, right? All have pretty much failed. Okay, but he's been fighting tooth and nail all the way through.
Well, a few of his senior advisors have been in jail or are still in jail. You can't deny that. What? They weren't?
They were, and they've been released as well, have they not?
Thanks to COVID, yes.
Yeah, has the head of the FBI been fired? Has the number two, Mr. Cabe, been fired? Are we waiting for a major report to come from AG Barr and the corruption under the Obama camp to come out? Or is that going to be suppressed?
Well, who would suppress it?
Maybe Mr. Biden.
I don't know. I doubt it.
You wouldn't think so? You reckon Mr. Barr's going to release it?
I doubt that too. I don't think there's any... The report to which you allude,
yep.
I thought had been scratched because there was nothing to it.
Durnham report?
No, not that one.
No, that's the one.
Another one that Trump demanded, I think that'll be scratched.
Well, anyway.
I think it has been scratched anyway.
And as you said rightly in our last podcast, you did predict Mr. Biden. What are we going to have in the sense of presidency? One fellow guest that we had not that long ago used the words he probably relatively benign. What do you think Mr. Biden's going to deliver to the world?
I think he's got some serious challenges, obviously COVID being the biggest one. And I think so far he's handled it well in terms of what he's able to do, despite the obstructionism of the current president, which is really criminal in terms of what's happening in America at the moment with people dying in the thousands.
Yeah, didn't you say earlier, Stephen, the states manage it, don't they not?
The national government sets the tone, sets the direction, sets the framework. And it's, as Theodore Roosevelt was fond of saying, there is a bully pulpit in the White House and the president should use it. Very important. Now, what do we expect beyond that? An easing of economic circumstances and recovery, a rebuilding of relations with allies, which is no doubt Joe Biden can achieve. He heard a collective sigh of relief from Europe when Donald Trump was obviously being beaten in the general election. But I think something more. And Trumpeteers are fond of saying this: "Oh well, I don't hold with the tweeting or the abuse or the mocking of the disabled and so on, or the sexism. I don't hold with any of that. But he's done a good job." That's like saying it's not Richard Nixon on the tapes. The real Donald Trump is the tweet. The real Richard Nixon was on the Oval Office tapes. And so a lot of Americans were really fed up with that to the back teeth and voted accordingly. Now, I think one of the important things that Joe Biden has to do is to restore dignity and civility to the Oval Office and center it again. Center it as a fulcrum for public discussion, public debate, and also leadership with a moral compass.
Yeah, but that's the big question. Is he going to be able to center it?
I think he is.
You've got AOC pushing. You've got Bernie Sanders who wants to be
where?
The green energy focus,
and,
right?
The votes she has? She have enough votes in the Democratic caucus today?
I don't know.
Does she have the Speaker's support?
No.
No.
But does she have a lot of...
Bernie Sanders wants to be Secretary of Labor?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, it would be very interesting. Borderline communist.
No.
You don't think so?
I always liked Lindsey Graham's remark. You know, the problem with Bernie is he went off to honeymoon in the Soviet Union and never came back. I kind of like Bernie. I don't think he's crazy. He's got particular views. Can they work in an administration in the Labor portfolio or another? Well, that remains to be seen.
All right. And Elizabeth Warren? Where's she going to finish up? Because she's already pushing the progressive economic platform, which is a concern.
Before we hit the hysteria button here.
No, it's not.
Isn't the governor of Massachusetts currently a Republican? Or am I wrong? I stand correction here.
I think you're right.
Well, if Elizabeth Warren goes into the administration, she vacates a Senate seat and a Republican governor will send a Republican.
Oh, okay.
QED. It's good to deal in realities.
She can still be influential.
Oh, no doubt about that.
Mm.
But if you have to get things through a United States Senate, which is possessed of a narrow Republican majority, and a House of Representatives, which is possessed of a narrow Democratic majority, I say again, it's a matter of tacking to the centre.
Do you think Biden and his team, because AAC's sort of come out with some comments recently, going to be seeking some form of retribution?
Upon whom?
Trump. And those who...
I saw that.
AOC said it, right? And that is facts, right, as you say?
I saw that, but I don't think it goes very far, and it should not go very far.
Agreed. If we start down that path, we're in a bad world.
I think the new president would frown on that, frankly. This notion of... What do they call it? Accountability. But it's actually retribution or revenge. No, that's wrong. Shouldn't go anywhere.
All right. So what else besides Biden being a really nice guy, bringing stability into the House... What else is he going to do? What does he stand for on international markets? What does he stand for on the economy? He's going to be raising tax. He's going to be...
Well, I'm not sure about raising tax. That's asserted. Well, is the Republican Senate going to agree to that?
And that's why people are rejoicing in the fact that, thank God, there's Republicans in the Senate. If there's not, then we're in big trouble, aren't we?
The mix of taxes may change in terms of where the weight falls, but raising taxes on ordinary Americans overall, I doubt that. Doubt that very much.
And do you think there is going to be much dirt coming out with regards to Hunter and the deal was done, the relationships with, and if there were kickbacks, et cetera, do you think that's going to actually affect him?
So Donald Trump is relying on Rudy Giuliani for this or what?
No, there's more than Giuliani, as you know.
I doubt anything of substance comes out. I mean, I think it's important to note Hunter Biden was not on the ballot paper and he's not in the administration. And unless it can be linked directly to an act of corruption by the president-elect, there is no story. And that's what most American media said, as well as the fact they cannot validate the so-called hard drive.
They can't validate the hard drive.
No, that's why they wouldn't touch the story.
The FBI's the FBI's opened the case, are they not? Yes or no?
I have read that there was an FBI inquiry. I don't know if there's any case. That's different to opening an inquiry.
Okay. And you're confident...
Don't want to speak as a lawyer, but I just did.
No, you did. Okay. Is the left going to work with the Republicans?
Doubt that. I suspect this will be another form of triangulation, which was something that the Clinton administration tried, courtesy of some advice from a subsequently disgraced pollster named Dick Morris. And triangulation involved the administration taking a position that was somewhere between the Democrats in Congress and the Republicans in Congress. In other words, occupying the middle ground. And I suspect that's where President-elect Biden will wish to be.
So in the potential, and the word is still potential, Stephen, even though you see it differently, the election of Mr. Biden, is this a reflection on the move towards socialism?
No.
Why do you say that?
Because there's no evidence to suggest that it is. There are some people in the Democratic Party, always have been people in the Democratic Party, describe themselves as social democrats or democratic socialists.
Yeah.
However, they've not been in a situation to command a majority in a primary to get up a presidential candidate in a very long time. And where there have been socialist candidates for president, like Eugene V. Debs, turn of the century, polled respectably, but nowhere near sufficient votes to win the presidency. And I think that remains the same. And there's a congresswoman by the name of Spanberger, from memory, from Virginia, a Democrat, who said she no longer wants Democrats ever to utter the word socialism again because it's so difficult for people contesting in red seats and purple seats. And I think that will probably be the prevailing view inside the Democratic caucus in Washington.
So Bernie, Elizabeth Warren and AOC aren't going to get a strong voice?
Well, there'll be strong voices, but will they prevail? That's the question. I don't think so.
What's going to happen with Nancy? The performance wasn't great.
Well, Speaker Pelosi's been written off many times. She's still there, and I suspect she will be a force, may well retain the speakership for another term. She's a formidable lady from a great Baltimore Democratic family, and she shows that all the time.
And were you surprised by what the Republicans were able to succeed in regards to women getting voted? Because I think people misread that completely, and the support in the black vote?
The Republicans did somewhat better amongst African Americans. They did somewhat better amongst American women, but part of the Democratic Party's strength in this election is to be found in the suburbs amongst women voters, and I'm not sure that that's going to change.
And if we did not have mail-in votes?
Well, more people would have voted on the day.
So you don't think that would have changed the...
It's possible, but I doubt it. I think for this reason.
And the very aggressive, wasn't it? That whole process was very... It's not just vote because you can't make it. You're getting focused on to vote, were you not?
Yeah, but a lot of American states have had mail-in voting for years and years.
Yeah, but not in this... Successfully. But not nowhere near giving this attention, Stephen. That's true, right?
It doesn't matter.
Come on, if you're getting targeted...
It doesn't matter.
No vulnerable people got signed up accidentally?
Well... If they were signed up accidentally, it will emerge. And it hasn't to date. I mean, I can see a windmill over there, but I'm not going to tilt at it. Simple fact of the matter is, if there'd been no mail-in voting, a lot more people would have voted in the day. And as I say, people were committed. They were committed. And a lot of people were concerned about COVID, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is why they voted mail-in. And I do not like the kind of things that happened in Texas. Now, for Trumpeteers, this may be regarded as fair play. I don't think so. Greg Abbott, the governor, ruled there was going to be one drop-off place in every county. Okay, some counties had a couple of hundred.
Yep.
But Harris County, which is basically the city of Houston, has a couple of million. So one drop-off place?
Crazy.
That's the kind of thing that discredits the democratic system. Now, it was designed to suppress the vote for the Democrats. Designed to suppress the vote. I think these are the sorts of things, realistically, that should be looked at carefully and reformed once Rudy Giuliani has disappeared from the scene. With his Four Seasons car park press conference, which has to be the most ludicrous event.
That was
really.
They went to the wrong Four Seasons.
Sandwiched between a crematorium or something, or a funeral home and a sex shop. I mean, really, talk about low rent.
What did you think of the timing of Pfizer making that announcement? Yet had all the information before the election and wouldn't come out and say they've found something which is 90% good.
Well judged timing, wasn't it?
Interesting, isn't it?
Well, they didn't want to
fix it.
They did not. Well, bear in mind they have American and German stakeholders. Circumstances being what they may, no one wanted to be a James Comey again. So they let it go till after the election.
What does it mean for Australia?
I think there are opportunities in this. We've gotten on well with Joe Biden previously when he was in the Senate, when he was vice president. I went to a private forum with him in the Treaty Room of the White House while he was vice president. He was excellent. He was very sharp. He was very personable. He dealt with all the questions, and he was on very good terms with the Australians in the room. He liked Julie Bishop when she was foreign minister, for example. They got on particularly well. I think our prime minister has been astute, most astute, early phone call, and inviting the president to come to Australia for the anniversary of ANZUS. So I think that has put us in good stead, and we just try and make it a seamless translation.
What are the Chinese thinking about, Stephen?
Very difficult to read the Politburo in Beijing. They probably see Donald Trump's defeat as an opportunity to test the new administration. Test the new administration in terms of security, in terms of trade and the like. I don't see them altering course, but I suspect the powers that be in Washington, right across the board in the Congress and in the administration and elsewhere, have pretty much agreed that China is, well, at best a strategic competitor, shall we say.
Yes.
So you've got from the left of the Democratic Party, and some Republicans are active on this too, to be fair to them, on the treatment of the Uyghurs, on the suppression of human rights,
yes,
right through theft of intellectual property,
yep,
the massive hacking that goes on,
yep,
into US institutions, right through to the military exercise in the South China Sea, the militarization of the islands and the like, on which a number of Republicans are focused and more than a few Democrats. You really have got a convergence of views that China is not a friendly actor and has to be opposed when it is clear that their purposes are malign. So I don't think that's going to change, and I don't think the president-elect will want to change it, actually. The language will be different. The language out of the White House will be different. I don't think you'll hear President-elect Biden refer to COVID-19 as the Chinese flu, for example. I don't think he'll do that. But I think it'll be quite a robust policy with respect to China and Chinese ambitions in the Indo-Pacific and elsewhere.
Do you think Mr. Biden and his team are going to do well from all the work that Mr. Trump has done, particularly around the economy?
In terms of maintaining some of the changes that the Trump administration brought in, yes, but I think there'll be some executive orders that reverse some of the Trump determinations, and that is usual in any circumstance. And I think there'll be a much greater emphasis economically on issues like living wages for Americans. So you don't have a circumstance in which the minimum wage is really not a wage on which people can raise a family.
Yeah, but they didn't do anything about it last time.
But I think they will this time. That's what I'm saying. I listened to Vice President-elect Harris the other night talking about new jobs, new union jobs. Well, that's well beyond the minimum wage.
What's the strategy for the Democrats in regards to the presidency, is their mind that Biden really is only good for one term? Like, what do you really think would be, you know, how old is the gentleman? He's going to be the oldest ever president by some way, correct?
Yes.
And he's already got questions around.
Well, that is quite a remarkable achievement. No one gives him credit for that. Was he 77 now? He'll be 78 when his term, when his term begins. So it may well be that he's a one-term president, that he sets his sights on particular goals and looks to achieve them and then retires, perhaps. But he's really shattered another glass ceiling here for seniors in terms of active life into the end of your eighth decade.
If he performs.
Well, that's true of any president.
What do you think? Well, what do you think of his cognitive ability?
I don't have any doubt about it.
You really don't?
Well, I just said that. I don't have any doubt about it.
Okay. All right.
Well, I say again, people mistake the fact
that he deals with a stutter. Yes.
Now.
That doesn't mean you get things completely exactly wrong. You don't know which town you're in. You don't know your child's name. You don't know your wife's name, whatever sometimes. Stephen.
President Reagan once raised his glass in a state function in Brasilia and congratulated the people of Bolivia. I mean, let's be realistic here. People make mistakes.
All right.
He once turned around at a function as President Reagan and addressed one of his cabinet ministers as, "Good to see you, Mr. Mayor." I mean, leave us not, again, hit the hysteria button.
Yeah, but he did have cognitive issues at the end.
I just want to see a certain calm descend in America.
And that's what it is, isn't it?
A calm.
Is ultimately that's why he got in, you think? Ultimately,
it's part of it.
When it really comes to the crunch, that's the key factor, you reckon?
It's part of it. It's part of it.
So ultimately it was Trump's to lose.
It always was, yes. It always was. You're nodding sagely here, but I can't
I know. And he's put himself in that situation, didn't he?
Well, look, let's just focus for a moment on it's Trump's to lose, okay? How smart is it to trash the McCain family, given the fact that you need Arizona in your column?
Couldn't understand it.
It is just sheer lunacy. How sensible is it to trash the city of Philadelphia in one of the debates when you need Philadelphia to poll better for Republicans? You need the suburbs of Philadelphia.
True.
It doesn't make any sense at all. And I find it difficult to follow. And you have a circumstance in which not only the physics of American politics were overturned by Donald Trump in 2016, but the psychology of it. And it's not that the Republicans didn't have warning of this happening in the sense of what happened in the 2018 midterms with the turnout. There was an American electorate that wanted to register its view, and it wasn't well disposed to Donald Trump even at that time. So you really needed, if you were in the Republican Party leadership, to take stock of that and come back and do better, particularly amongst independents.
So if I was sitting in the US over the last couple of months, how much am I getting inundated by the press during the spirit?
Oh, you're overwhelmed. I mean, I'm on the Democratic Party's mailing list. I get 5 or 6 emails a day still from them.
So where
did, you're overwhelmed. You can't go outside without seeing signs on the front lawns and billboards and everything, radio, television, social media and the like.
And were you concerned? And
incidentally, just a question. Was that you who sponsored the Trump 2020 skywriting effort the other day?
No.
Greg? I thought of you.
No, it wasn't. Were you concerned, again, as a man who supports democracy and freedom of speech, the arguments around censorship for the large tech firms?
I'm uneasy about
Whether he's got the right to express his views.
I am uneasy about the large tech firms and their ability to influence events, full stop.
So where do we see the world going then in the future of any election? Because it's
a personal view. I think some of the large tech firms, they face the same challenges from a Congress in particular that is less than impressed by them as Standard Oil faced in 1900, the turn of the 20th century, and that crystallized under the administration of President Theodore Roosevelt, where he broke up the trusts. I suspect that's the direction in which we're going. Now, whether that will be broken up on the basis of geography or form or function, whatever, remains to be seen. It may never happen. But if you were looking at the future and looking at the trajectory, you'd have to think that a lot of people in the American political class and in government think that the big techs have too much power.
And if you stand back just as, again, as a former politician and student of history, how many times did Biden actually come out to present in his wares? When you're thinking about compared to all the previous elections you've been across, seen, followed, it was unbelievably small.
It was limited, but I note that the president, post the election, has now played 4 games of golf and issued 400 tweets. I mean, what's the statistical importance here? Biden was measured and focused, and it worked. It worked.
Yeah, no, I'm just simply asking, going forward, are we going to see a totally different way how
I would hope that the Bidens in the White House will be very different to the Trumps in the White House. That's my hope.
So what's going to be the first 12 months for Biden?
Well, the focus will be on COVID and the economy, rebuilding relations with allies. I'm sure they're the three touchstones. And in terms of social policy, endeavouring to take the country into a more tolerant period and a tolerant perspective on race relations.
Yeah, okay. And you said rebuild the relations, the international relations. Where are they really fractured?
In Europe, in the main.
The relationship that troubled
James Mattis most when he was Secretary of Defense were Donald Trump's endless rants about the relationship with the Republic of Korea, because the Americans had a trade deficit with Korea. And he would endlessly demand to know why the Eighth Army was still in Korea, what are they doing, why are we there, we should rip up the security treaty and so on. And in the end, Mattis would say in these meetings that we're preserving the peace, that's why we're in Korea.
Yeah, right.
Now, that's very troubling. I don't think we're going to see that from a Biden. The Taiwanese were at some risk of a second Trump administration. John Bolton made that very clear in his book. He thought that Taiwan was the ally most likely to be abandoned by Donald Trump. And you think about possibility of a trade deal with the Chinese, what Donald Trump may or may not have been prepared to give away. You look at the Taiwan Straits. So I took that aboard when I read that by John Bolton and listened to him on a webinar not so long back. So I think
he was also going to attack Iran as well, wasn't he?
Well, he asked about it, but nothing happened.
So that was pretty frightening.
Well, not in your estimation, because Trump never wanted to go to war.
That's why he sacked Bolton, is he not? Because Bolton was talking that up, was he not?
No, I don't think so at all. Okay. Trump tends to sack cabinet ministers and other senior advisors who actually disagree with him and stand up to him, or people like the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, who achieves a profile and becomes a celebrity. Trump denounced him as a celebrity. Can you believe that?
No, but anyway, let's focus back on where
so
you're going
to. So you don't
to
believe that?
No, I'm just going back to international relations, and you're talking about Bolton, who was terminated.
I suspect that the Europeans will want to rebuild a relationship. There'll still be pressure from the US, the Europeans, to do more in their own defense, and it should happen. But I don't expect President Biden to question the value of Article 5 of the NATO treaty the way Donald Trump did repeatedly.
So what's Biden going to do regarding the nuclear program with the Iranians?
Well, I suspect he would like to see the nuclear deal with modifications embraced again. I don't know with these new sanctions that Trump is putting in place with the Iranians if that's possible. And that's the question.
Well,
in the last couple of weeks, Trump is endeavouring, the announcement in Afghanistan and Iraq is a classic case, Trump is endeavouring to saddle the new president with more difficult strategic circumstances. That's the game. And I think that's wrong.
Yeah, but hold on. Let's go back to, say, the Middle East for a second. Did Obama get that right?
Well, Obama was... Obama was elected...
He had a deputy, didn't he?
Obama was elected and re-elected president of the United States. Judgment was passed on him. We have moved on since then.
Okay. And they didn't do a great job in Iran. Hotbed of every bit of terrorism activity in this world sponsored out of that place. So what's Trump done with the Israelis, which has been pretty good, don't you think? And now you think, and if Biden goes back in and does the deal with Iran, what happens to Israel and all those Arab states that they've just done this signing up
with? I've always discovered it's not wise to respond to hypotheticals.
No, they're doing. Are they not signing treaties at the moment?
The treaty with the Gulf states, the treaty with Sudan is a step in the right direction. There's no question about that, the recognition of Israel. More can perhaps be achieved. Having said that, I don't want to, given the history of the Middle East the last few thousand years, I don't want to speculate endlessly.
I'm just concerned that Biden might go back to the old ways, which would be a disaster for the Middle East.
And well, that's not what the Europeans say. The Europeans got it wrong. Europeans have a different view, so that's going to have to be negotiated. And that's going to be the change in Washington, and that allies will actually be consulted, I figure. And there will be a little bit of give and take here.
Okay, interesting. Interesting perspective. What else should we take on
board? You would have made a very good White House Chief of Staff for Donald Trump until he fired you.
Probably right. No, I'm a bit worried about Mr. Biden. And if you look at his track record, he hasn't done anything in 47 years to stand out as a strong leader, even within his own party. But he hung in there and he won, right? And he won the right to be president, and now he's coming into president. And we've got stormy days ahead. You got the Russians, you got the Iranians, the Middle East is a hotbed, you got Israelis worried, we've got North Korea, and we've got China.
Dealing realities here again. He hasn't yet announced his team. He's announced a chief of staff and a couple of other senior appointments that were anticipated.
But the cabinet
is not yet taken form. And I'm hoping that it won't only be senior Democrats. There will be some senior Republicans and independents in positions of responsibility. And that is likely to occur. It did not occur under the previous president.
Role of vice president. Is Kamala going to be any different to Mr. Pence in the way that she conducts herself or the vice presidency role?
Well, Mike Pence was a loyal deputy who kept his counsel publicly and did not create difficulties for the administration. I think Kamala Harris will do more than that in terms of pushing the boat out on race relations, for example, on issues particularly important to American women, particularly in the COVID situation. And I think she will be a real asset to President Biden.
Stephen, if we're having this conversation in 4 years' time, which I really hope we do, who do you think, if he is given the presidency, Mr. Biden is going to be running up against?
No one is given the presidency of the United States. He's won the presidency. President Biden will, in all likelihood, see a cross on the other side of the aisle, something of a heated contest involving senior Republicans from the Congress and elsewhere, and Donald J. Trump Sr. If that's not the case, then perhaps one of the younger members of the family, Donald Trump Jr. I know in one classic novel, Christopher Buckley's Make Russia Great Again, Donald Trump announces that the next Republican ticket will be Ivanka. That'll be his son-in-law, and his daughter will comprise the president and vice presidential ticket. So it's going to be interesting. Personally, looking ahead in American politics, I'm with Christopher Wray, the current head of the FBI.
Ooh.
When I was at Aspen a year or two back, he was talking about being in Washington, D.C., and he decided to walk back to his office from a meeting. So he's walking along the street, and a middle-aged couple stopped him. They recognized him and said, "Mr. Ray," introduced themselves, "pleasure to meet you." And they said, "Just to let you know, sir, we're praying for you." And off they went. And the director said, "Well, I believe in the power of prayer myself, but I was wondering what had happened in the last 2 hours that people were needing to pray for me." And that's Washington, D.C. as it's been, where the former director of national intelligence, Dan Coats, used to wake himself up at 2 or 3 a.m. to read the presidential tweets until his wife said to him, "Well, that's not the job you have." actually. Now, all of that passes. Point I'm making is I don't particularly want to look 4 years ahead. I'd much rather look to January 20 and see how a Biden administration shakes out successfully, I trust.
With all of what we've learned over this period of time, has the world lost faith in politics and the politicians?
A lot of people have lost faith. There's no doubt about that. And not only politics and politicians, but the institutions, which is why I'm so very critical of the 45th president, who relentlessly trashed American institutions.
On that, Stephen, thank you very much for joining us today.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to No Limitations.